007 reporting for duty.
If I'm doing a fake movie, it's going to be a fake hit.
Smoke and mirrors, guys. Welcome to the movie factory.
How dare I? How dare you?
Okay, you seem normal.
It doesn't matter what I feel.
I'm Commander-in-Chief.
What if someone really good made a horror picture?
Happy Hunger Games.
That's as good as it's going to get. And it won't ever get that good again.
The movie news.
You stay classy, San Diego.
With Garrett Daly.
Afternoon, Garrett, how are you?
Afternoon, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We are starting with news of film directors and when they irritate us a little, do they?
Just a tad. It's a curious one because it's slightly funny because you have a director admitting to, I suppose, something he's addicted to and people pulling him up on it all the time. I mean, we can talk about various directors and their style, like Paul Greengrass, who likes the handheld camera work all the time.
Yeah, a little bit shaky.
Zack Snyder likes the slow motion. Tarantino loves the mixes, of course, of pop culture and monologues and excessive violence. Peter Jackson likes long movies.
He does.
And J.J. Abrams likes lens flare.
Now explain lens flare.
Lens flare is when you have a light catch the front of the camera and it kind of will create a circle across it. We could get circles of confusion and the likes as well. But basically, I mean, on set, what ends up happening is you send a light towards the lens, making it flare out. He loves this look.
And is it annoying to
viewer? It can be for some people, but he's admitted to having a problem. There's a sort of a group now to say, hi, I'm JJ and I'm addicted to lens flare. Because people were pulling him up on it with Star Trek because there was just so much in it, in the movie Super 8 as well. There's a lot of it, but he actually admitted to the fact that he showed a scene to his wife and she said, I actually can't see what's going on. There was so much lens flare in it. And he admitted as well that they've actually used ILM, that's the effects company, to remove some of the ones they did on set because he realised he went
a bit
overboard.
An addiction problem, isn't it?
A little bit, but he's in recovery.
He's seeing somebody about it. It'll all be fine. Once he's aware of it. And we have a new Narnia movie coming our way.
We do, yeah. The Mark Gordon Company and the C.S. Lewis Company are joining forces again to develop a fourth film in the Chronicles of Narnia franchise. The pair are set to jointly develop and produce the Chronicles of Narnia, The Silver Chair, an adaptation of the next novel in the seven-book series. This will follow up from 2005's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and 2008's Prince Caspian, and 2010's The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. $745 million worldwide for the first film. Not so great on the second ones, but they've still made quite a lot of money, and in fact they're great on home video and DVD. They've done really well. No word as yet as to who will direct, but they're going
to make
this movie.
Keep an eye on that one. Now, I think if we were to look at Disney or animated baddies, I think Cruella de Vil would be way up there, wouldn't she?
Very much so, and of course brought to life brilliantly by Glenn Close in the live action version.
She's great, actually.
In 1996, 101 Dalmatians. Well, Disney has hired a screenwriter, the writer actually of The Devil Wears Prada, to pen Cruella a new live-action film about the villainess. And, you know, first appeared in 1956 in the novel, most famous in the 1961 animated film as well, and we've mentioned Glenn Close. We've no sort of ideas to the new take on the character. It's been kept secret at the moment, but
I like the sound of that,
as you said, it could be good.
Now, we've been talking over the last few weeks, Garrett, about the Toronto Film Festival and that there are going to be an awful lot of movies getting Oscar attention, but there's been a lot of buzz about Philomena, hasn't there?
Philomena stars Judi Dench and Steve Coogan. Stephen Frears has directed it, and there has been quite a lot of buzz. I wouldn't be surprised if it is a movie that kind of sneaks up on the inside and does well at the awards season. Coogan actually co-wrote the script after reading an article about a real life woman, Philomena Lee, who undertook the search for the son she'd given up for adoption decades earlier. A lot of it shot in Northern Ireland as well. So
and Judi Dench, by all accounts, brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant in the movie. So it's going to be released November 22nd in the States, and that's right ahead of, you know, potential award season nominations. So, you know, watch out for it, Philomena. It's a small budgeted movie, but it could do big things.
Okay, Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. I'm not a big fan of Doctor Who.
No, me neither.
But a lot of people
think you are.
Or
you aren't.
Yeah, that's it. I think you kind of get it or you don't get it. The 50th anniversary is coming up shortly, and there's going to be a 50th anniversary special called The Day of the Doctor. They are doing a simulcast of this around the world.
Really?
BBC America are going to put it out at the same time here. So there's going to be millions of viewers of this thing around the world, in Canada, in Brazil, Botswana, Mexico, fans all over from 75 countries will be able to enjoy the episode at the same time as the UK. And they're going to announce more countries as well. The special stars Matt Smith, who's the 11th Doctor, Jenna Coleman, who's the companion Clara, David Tennant, who's the 10th Doctor, is in it as well. Billy Piper and John Hurt also going to be in it. They're going to do other things as well. They're going to have a 3D special in cinemas as well. And in London, they're going to be doing a big convention centre where they're going to have appearances from some of the cast, old and new.
So they're going for a big time.
They're going to hear a lot about Doctor Who and the 50th anniversary.
Excellent. Now, news of an Irish filmmaker who's doing very well.
Yes, this is Keelan O'Rourke. He has been announced as the person who's going to redraft a script on an up-and-coming film, Emily the Strange. It's a screen version of a popular comic book character. He's a kind of a filmmaker on the rise, really, because he's had quite a lot of success. He did a short film called The Boy in the Bubble.
That's
really
right.
Nice short film. Yeah. Alan Rickman narrated the voice. This has been turned into a feature film. He actually won an IFTA for that in 2012 for Best Animation. He's also mid-production on a number of projects, one being Bolivar for Warner Brothers, as well as The Houdini, based on the novel of the same name. So animation is big in this country.
It really is. We do well, don't we?
He is a director to look out for in terms of, I mean, I really like The Boy in the Bubble.
Yeah.
So I think we can expect great things from him.
Great. That is Keelan O'Rourke. Watch this space, as they say. Now, major film festivals happening.
Yeah,
over the next
little
while.
Yeah, to mention a few. You have the rival ones down in Cork, Indie Cork, which goes from the 16th to the 20th of October, and then the 58th Cork Film Festival runs from the 9th to the 17th of November. They've all started announcing their programmes, so you can go onto their website to have a look and see brilliant range of films in all of those festivals. And then also the Waterford Film Festival, now in its 7th year, runs from the 8th to the 10th of November, and that takes place at the Greyfriars Art Gallery in Waterford.
Fantastic.
And again, a good festival there. So lots of films for
lots
people
of films
see.
To see, which is always good news. Okay, trailer watch, you've chosen an Irish one for us.
I have, and I think this movie will do well. It's got a good cast: Andrew Scott, Breen Gleeson, Peter MacDonald, Hugh O'Connor, A.B. Huberman. It's The Stag.
I did have a look at the trailer. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a comedy. You know what you're going to get from it. It's about a bachelor party weekend in the great outdoors, and it takes some unexpected detours. It had a big screening at Toronto. A lot of buzz about it.
Yeah, it's going down well.
It was shown in LA there recently as well. It's got distribution this part of the world, and I think it's going to be popular with Irish audiences. So have a look at the trailer, and you'll probably have a laugh at the trailer, and you will do at the film as well, The Stag.
All right, that is The Stag. And new releases in our cinemas: How I Live Now, first up with Saoirse Ronan back on the big screen.
Saoirse Ronan, and this is from the director of The Last King of Scotland, Kevin MacDonald. It's about an American girl on holiday in the English countryside with her family and friends. Finds herself in hiding and fighting for her survival as the Third World War breaks out. Have a listen to this clip.
He gave me a ticket home. They're going to pick me up from the village in the morning.
I know.
Of course you do.
I'm glad. I want you to be safe.
Eddie.
Don't worry about us. We'll be fine. There's a barn on the other side of the woods. We'll move up there. I don't care about some stupid evacuation. This is our home. We're not leaving.
Yeah, that's Saoirse Ronan back on the big screen in How I Live Now.
And supporting cast there, George MacKay and Tom Holland star in that movie as well. There's a link to The Last King of Scotland with the next film, and that's James McAvoy, who stars in Filth. He plays
This could only be an Irving Welsh plot.
A bipolar, bigoted, junkie cop manipulates and hallucinates his way through the festive season in a bid to secure promotion and win back his wife and daughter.
Yeah,
as I said,
that's
James
Irving Welsh
McAvoy and Image and Potts.
It's like James McAvoy is the new Ewan McGregor, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I think so. And it's kind of when you think of the movie Trance he was in as well, similar type of thing in it. He likes that type of role.
Always like James McAvoy. I think he's a great actor. And as you say, that link to The Last King of Scotland from our previous director. Thanks for sharing.
A romantic comedy that brings together three disparate characters who are learning to face a challenging and often confusing world as they struggle together against a common demon, which is sex addiction. Mark Ruffalo, Tim Robbins, Gwyneth Paltrow all star in that one. We also have The Pervert's Guide to Ideology, which is basically the ultimate lesson in psychoanalysis. And then The To-Do List, and this is about Brandy Clark, who's feeling pressured before she goes to college and decides to make a list of the things to accomplish before hitting campus. Audrey Plaza stars in that movie, and I mentioned it last week, but The Irish Pub goes on a wider release this week, and that's the documentary that focuses on all the pubs and the stories
the social
from
aspect,
the pubs.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right, your TV movie recommendation tonight.
This is a really powerful, strong movie, and I think when you watch its lead actor, Edward Norton, in other movies, you can really marvel at his performance in this one, because he's quite dweeby in a lot of the movies he plays.
Yeah.
And he's an immense, immense force in this movie. The movie's American History X, and he plays a neo-Nazi skinhead who tries to prevent his younger brother, played by Edward Furlong, from going down the same wrong path that he did. It's a strong, powerful movie with some very, very tough scenes to watch, but it's definitely worth a watch. 10:50 tonight, you can watch it on TV3.
Gareth, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.